passionate about the station, this is an opportunity to help lead CKUT into a new era of community media. For more information, please send a message to admin@ckut.ca.
You're listening to Art in Action. This is an interview series produced to highlight voices that work at the intersections of art and activism. I'm Stefan Christophe in Montreal. For that French
New Wave film, I want to see. Experimental electronic meets a modern-day 80s indie pop rock daydream. Adam Ma is no stranger to creating evocative music. His newest album, Year of the Dog, explores themes surrounding navigating long-term relationships, nostalgia baiting, and the music industry's current state, with appearances from Jordan Lawler, Royal, and Riki. Listen to Adam Ma's latest album, Year of the Dog, on your favorite streaming platform today.
Everyone, you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM and CKUT.ca online. This is Queercore, a bi-weekly show highlighting queer music and queer artists. My name is Onyx, and this is the second episode in this new series on Queercore. I'm here today with Pool Girl, a local band from right here in Montreal. You just heard their song Fetishware. Now, they're in the studio with me, so let's go around and do some introductions. If you guys all just want to say your name, give some pronouns, what instrument you play, anything else you want to talk about right at the beginning.
Hi, I'm Miranda. I'm the vocalist. That's she, her.
All right.
Hi, I'm Manya. I do rhythm guitar and backing vocals. I use they, she pronouns, and yeah.
I'm Laura. I'm the lead guitarist. I use she, her pronouns.
Hi, I'm Gwenna. I play bass and I use she, her pronouns.
All right. So it's great to have you guys here today. Just to start off, we heard obviously one of your songs. I was wondering if you could talk a little more about like what kinds of music you play, what genres you've been influenced by, you know, the type of things people might hear if they were to go to one of your shows.
I mean, I can start off because I was just talking earlier about some of the things that inspire me when I go to Pool Girl, some of the things that are on my playlist when I'm walking to rehearsal. I really love me some Hole. I think there's a lot of artistry there. No Doubt, there's this performance that they did in April of 2000 where Gwen Stefani has pink hair and she's on stage and she's just going crazy and the crowd is going crazy. And honestly, I think I've watched that before a few of our shows just like for some mental hype.
Yeah, I would say probably Hole too. We, like before we started the band, or I guess like in the early stages, like we would make kind of like playlists that were like supposed to, I guess, inspire us. And there was like a lot of different stuff on there, but a lot of the same stuff as well. Like, I mean, we all love Hole, but like, and I would say there's like a little bit of like a Riot Grrrl influence. But I listened to like a lot of, like, I would say like power pop as well, pop punk maybe. So I feel like our songs are also like a little bit poppy, and we just, yeah, fun stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of us are, you know, listen to a lot of different kinds of music and we try to influence that in our songs, hopefully more as we make more music. One of the bands that inspires us a lot is Bikini Kill. We did a cover of their song Rebel Girl for quite a few of our shows. Don't know if we're going to continue doing that, but Bikini Kill definitely,
yeah,
is a big one.
Calvin Hill. Yeah, I think for me, one of the first punk albums I ever listened to, I was probably 11 or 12, and it was Arctic Monkeys, Whatever People Say I Am, That's What I'm Not, with yeah. the picture of the Adam Sandler-looking guy on the cover. And I still love that music, and I still listen to it frequently when I'm looking for inspiration for new Pearl Girl riffs.
Pearl Girl.
All right, well, I can definitely tell that I can pick up some of those influences in your music, especially some of the Riot Grrrl. Definitely, I can see how you were influenced by, you know, Bikini Kill and everything else in that genre. So, yeah, on that subject, do you have any upcoming shows or recent shows you've had in the past that you want to talk about?
Oh my god. We have like so many shows coming up, which we're excited for. But like definitely our last show was like, I feel like this was so fun. We played the basement show, like a house show with Dogfight, and it was such a great experience and like so fun. I think we really enjoy playing like DIY venues, so that was, or like house, more casual house shows. So yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Yes. Our next one is May 3rd, though, right?
Yeah.
At Sodereña.
Is that how you pronounce it?
La Sodereña?
I think so.
La Sodereña.
Yeah.
La Sodereña.
It's there. With knitting and
Taupe.
Yes. Sorry, too many T names. Love them both.
All right, yeah. So May 3rd at La Sodereña. Mm-hmm. To all of our listeners out there, if you want to check this out, go to La Sodereña on May 3rd. All right, do you guys have anything else to say about that, or do we want to get more into the tea on what's going on with you guys?
Yeah, come to the show. Yeah. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
Let's go to tea now.
All right, okay. So, in terms of your, like, influences, do you guys have, like, a story or, like, some inspirations on how you guys got together as a band?
Yes. So, I had been in a couple loose bands in the past, just, like, people hanging out and playing for fun. And last summer, so almost a year ago, I really wanted to start more of like a rocky, punky band. And so I actually, I put an ad on Twitter saying like, well, just like, hey, does anyone want to start a band with me? Haha, LOL. And then Miranda was one of the first people who was like, I've been wanting to.
Yeah,
like, let's do it. And then I texted Manya after, because I know Manya played a little guitar, which they will go into more. And then from there, I reached out to Rachel, our drummer, our lovely drummer, because we could not find a drummer. And then surprisingly, we were having a lot of trouble finding a lead guitarist. And we were playing with someone, but they couldn't do it because of time commitments. And at that point, we were still not a real band is a strong word, but we were still just like playing for fun. And then I really feel like we solidified our band when Laura came in like October, I think, and played with us, and we played Fetish Wear, and she put like that riff over it. And once she did that, it was like a new era of Fool Girl.
Oh yeah.
I remember it so vividly. It was a Musico Tuesday.
It was like 10 p.m.
But there Laura was. I also, like I said, I remember when you texted me too. I was at Jean Mont's open mic with my boyfriend, and I get a text in a group chat, and I'm like, OMG. I turned to him, and I'm like, Quinta just asked me to be in a band and to play guitar. Oh, I don't really play guitar, but I guess I do now. So...
Yeah. And you have a pink guitar. That's like half the battle.
Beautiful. I'm so glad it's getting its airtime. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Twitter mutuals.
Twitter mutuals.
Bandmates. Love
Wouldn't
story.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So you guys, did you all know each other before you started your band? Like, were you friends? Did you get to know each other through the music?
Definitely. Like, I feel like we got to know each other through the music. Gwen and I were Twitter mutuals for a very long time, and so like I knew like who you were, but not I didn't know you were a rock star.
Oh, you too. I mean, I knew of Gwenna and Laura through the Schulich sphere. Also knew of Rachel in an abstract form, also through the Schulich sphere, but Randy, I met your beautiful soul, your Pool Girl.
All right, so what about your band name? I mean, I know it's very catchy. I like it a lot, but I'm curious, is there a story behind it? Like, where did it come from?
I feel like, well, we were, like, kind of toying with a couple different names, and then, like, we just really couldn't decide on anything, and we wrote a couple songs, like, randomly that had the word pool in it. And we just really, really liked it. Like, we just liked how it sounded, and we were like, yeah, I don't know. We saw it. We wanted something visual as well, just something that would work for, like, I guess, merch and stuff, but also that we could write with, because I like using a lot of, like, visual metaphors and lyrics and stuff. And, yeah, and, like, I've had friends since be like, oh, my God, like, there's like, Girl Pool, because Girl Pool is, like, another, like, early 2000s, I guess, like, Riot Girl,
your
side.
I actually loved them when I was like 13, so it wasn't intentional, but like I think the comparison is pretty awesome.
It was Gwenna's book of came in with your notebook with all these like ideas.
Yeah,
this was
true.
A Studio 365 Tuesday.
It was also at 10 p.m.
late night where all the magic happens.
Yeah. We really couldn't pick a name for, like, a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then at that point, we had just written Pool Party, or did we write Pool Party that
practice? It was in its embryonic
practice.
Stages.
Yeah, we had started it. So it was, like, yeah, Pool Party, and then I feel like we have another song that says pool in it. No?
I'm sure.
I don't know. Somewhere.
But, yeah, it felt... Like, everyone was really happy with it,
yeah.
Whereas, I don't know, that hadn't happened yet mm-hmm. with any name.
Yeah, so it sounds like pool, in general, is very significant for you guys in your music. Is there, like, a metaphorical aspect here, or is it just kind of like it all kind of fell together that way?
I feel like, I mean, sometimes, like, at our shows, it's like, like a pool of girls sometimes in the audience. Like, I don't know. It could be a metaphor. It can be whatever you want. My God, playing pool in Fetish Wear. That's what I was thinking.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Playing
yeah.
pool is one of the first lines. So it's like anything. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I like that. It can mm-hmm. be anything,
whatever you want.
Yeah. Okay. So getting into more of your like individual experiences or your experiences as musicians. Obviously, we are here because this is a queer music show. So, I would be very interested to hear if any of you want to talk about your experiences as women and as queer musicians, either as a band or individually, and how that has influenced you as a musician.
I mean, I can start on a rather positive note to say that I feel like Pool Girl, in what we do, I think it's been, we've been very intentional with what we do. We've been very intentional with who we play with, where we play with. And I feel like the environment that our shows have, like, created, it's always just been, like, not only the coolest, like, kindest people I've ever met, but it's always been, like, I've been to a lot of shows where the vibe is, like, not the same, where it can be aggressive and who knows what. But I've never felt, like, better about, like, putting out art with people who not only do I feel like we're putting out, like, a vision of, like, what we want, like, the world, like, our shows and our art to, like, give people. And I feel like the art that we put out is also very well received and very, like, relatable even, because we've obviously towed on some queer topics in our songs, which obviously you can speak to more about your songs.
Oh, yeah, sure. I don't know. I would say, like, we only have one song in our set list that's, like, pretty explicitly queer theme, Lucy. Yeah. We have a song that's about a queer crush, so I guess, like, maybe, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I totally agree with what Manya said. I think that, like, because we're intentional about, like, playing with people that we feel like have shared experiences with us, and see the world the way that we do, in, like, terms of being accepting towards, you know, everyone, those are kind of, like, the vibes of our shows. I don't know if that really fully answers your question, but yeah.
No, I get what you mean. I mean, definitely, like, I also go to a lot of shows, you know, and, mm-hmm. like, also as a queer person, like, you know, I might not be playing shows, but I am very intentional about, like, where I go. And I think it is really important. I've noticed this, like, a lot here in Montreal. Like, there are a lot of new queer bands, and there are a lot of places that are kind of cultivating the atmosphere of, like, acceptance towards queer people and, like, more positive environments in terms of playing music and listening to music. Do the rest of you have anything you want to talk about with this?
I don't know. I agree. I think we've been very lucky to be in a place where we can kind of not control the situation of our show, but we are really intentional with planning and with who we will play with and the venues that we play at, because the punk and the rock scene is pretty often, like, a very straight man dominated space, and I think we try to definitely play with groups that don't necessarily fall into that category. Not that there aren't great bands that fall into that category, but we definitely want to have a safe space for everyone, and I think that's one of the reasons people like coming to our shows a lot, is because we're pretty vocal about it being a safe space for everyone, and I think a lot of our friends who come know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, connected to what Gwenna was just saying, one of my only fears with the band is that we could be kind of perceived or seen as a novelty because we're a non-manned and a queer band. But I feel that so far with the shows we've played, our music has kind of spoken for us, and we've been really fortunate to play with some really awesome bands so far that have not only taken us onto their bill because we could be seen as a novelty, but because we're just a good band.
We sound good. That's what I was gonna say. Like, I mean, I'm not, like, I play a little bit of guitar, but, like, genuinely, like, watching you guys, like, rock out on stage and just do, like, they're just so skilled, you know, truly. It's really fun to watch. And so if anything, I mean, like, if, like, there were, like, people maybe a bit younger than us that do feel excluded or feel like because they're a girl or queer or whatever it is, they can't do it, like, I think it's just cool to just, like, be doing that. And we're definitely not the only ones, and we're definitely not the first, but it's always cool, so, yeah.
Oh, I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry.
All good. Well, that's really nice to hear, and I'm really glad that you guys have been able to have that experience and, you know, are bringing that towards other people and bringing that energy into all these places you're playing shows at. I think you had mentioned earlier something about a song you wrote called Lucy.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that, like, you've got two songs out right now, Fetishware and Boy Destroyer. But I was wondering, later I'm going to play the other song that we didn't get to. And I know you sent me an unreleased track. But before we get into that, I was wondering if you wanted to talk about, like, the types of themes that you're influenced by when you write songs, or what types of things you want to make music about, and, like, what types of things you're playing at your shows. Like, if you have other songs that haven't been recorded yet, or if you're playing covers of things, you know, just kind of an overview of, like, what your music is all about.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of our songs are about just experiences that we've had and that we talk about. We're pretty good about talking about things and, like, talking about issues that we want to write songs about, or, you know. So a lot of our songs are definitely, I think people can relate to them a lot. Fetishware, it seems surface level, like, oh, Fetishware, you're mentally ill, that's so cool. But we really wrote that with kind of the idea of like how women are seen in the media, and how, like, oh, you haven't made it unless you're an Instagram model, but then when you're that, everyone mm-hmm. will still be super mad at you anyways.
I think fetish, sorry.
Continue, please.
I think, Fetishware, the lyrics are kind of, like, I guess about, like, the Instagram era in terms of, like, female empowerment, and, like, that a lot of it can be packaged up in, like, a very visual way. Like, I guess buying things or promoting things would be, like, the way that you get your social justice message or whatever it is forward. And I guess it was kind of supposed to be a criticism of that.
Yeah. And then what else? We have Lucy, as we were just talking about. It about, like, a queer crush. It's not... Lucy is not really a real person, but they're kind of representing the idea of, like, having a crush on someone who's just so cool.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, you know, the, oh, I don't know if I want to date them or if I want to be them. Like,
yeah,
that.
Something I would say I really enjoy about our music and our writing process is, well, for starters, a lot of the lyrics, a lot of them do start out written with Randy. I would, like, full credit on that. They're beautiful. But when we take it to rehearsal, I find sometimes we give it, like, each of us, like, through rehearsing it all the time. Like, you start to internalize it with your own kind of, like, relationship to the music. And I feel like we've already, like, touched on a bit earlier that I think it's really important that when, or at least I really enjoy when we go out and perform, people, like, relate to the music as they see fit. So I feel like we can sit here and be like, oh, this is what this song means, and this is what this song means. I mean, sometimes we get on stage, it's like, this is pool party, and this is a song about being uncomfortable at a pool party. But sometimes I'm like, I think maybe it could be more than that. I feel this meaning, not to get all deep and all whatever, but that's my enjoyment with the writing process, even though I don't often contribute, like, physical words.
Yeah, I guess I probably contribute the least to the lyrics, just because it's really not my strong suit. But when Miranda or whoever else in the band presents us with lyrics, I always just try to write guitar or instrumental parts that kind of match, like, the mood, the feeling, just who is singing is trying to evoke. And that's kind of my process with the more instrumental side of things.
Hell yeah.
All right, so it's really, like, a collaborative process for you mm-hmm. guys. Like,
yeah.
So you said Miranda or Randy?
Either.
Either,
like,
okay.
Randy's kind of my nickname.
Okay, well then, Randy.
My alter ego.
Writes your lyrics, and the rest of you guys add your instrumental parts.
I mean, I feel like we've written each song kind of differently. Like, each song has really been its own process so far.
Mm-hmm.
There are some times where we'll come in and Randy or Miranda?
It doesn't matter.
Sorry. we'll come in with their lyric book and be like, oh, I was thinking about, or I had a dream the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll kind of work off of that. Or sometimes we'll sit down and, like, we wrote Boy Destroyer, which you'll hear later, we just started with the bass line. And we kind of worked from there and added words on top. Yeah, each song is kind of its own process, and it's really fun to see how they all make a song, even though each one is done so differently.
All right, well, thank you. That's all super interesting to know. Just a reminder for all of our listeners, this is CKUT 90.3 FM, and this is Queer Core, a queer music show. I am on air with Pool Girl right now, a band from Montreal. We are approaching the halfway point of our show today. This show runs every other Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. So if you want to hear more, you can tune in 2 weeks. But we still have about a little over a half hour left. We're going to take a quick break, hear some more music, and then I will be right back with you with Pool Girl to get more into our conversation.
Welcome to OFC Podcast Radio, where every beat, every word, and every laugh is a celebration of our journey. Join Gina the Great, your joy curator, Farrah Hammond-Freeman, the head honcho, and me, Queen Kaya, your soul sister. Get ready to groove to the rhythm of empowerment, laugh to the melody of resilience, and rock with the harmony of inspiration. This is where our voices unite, our stories shine, and our spirits soar. Stay tuned for a dose of melanated excellence every Thursday at 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM and OFCPodcastRadio.com.
CKUT 90.3 FM is proud to present the Project XT Trio, featuring Kevain Wayne Space, better known as RP Boo, the legendary pioneer of Chicago footwork, DJing, Seymour Wright on saxophone, Paul Abbott on drums. Taking place Sunday, May 19th, 5 p.m., the 40th Festival International de Musique Actuelle de Victoria. For tickets and more details, visit fimav.qc.ca.
This is Kristen Carter. My debut contemporary pop album, Full Bloom, is now yours to discover. Full Bloom is a living garden of 12 songs that celebrates the beauty and the seasonal nature of life. You can find Full Bloom wherever you listen to music. Visit thekristencarter.com or follow at Kristen Carter Music for more. Funded by Factor and Canada's private radio broadcasters.
You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM and CKUT.ca online. My name is Onyx, and this is Queer Core, a bi-weekly show all about queer music and queer artists. I'm here today with Pool Girl. We are about at the halfway mark of this show. It runs from 6 to 7 p.m., so far from their music We heard Fetishware earlier, and we recently heard Boy Destroyer. Just now, of course, was Rebel Girl by Bikini Kill, which has been a major influence for them as a band. Now that we're back and getting into conversation again, I want to talk about some of their other music. They sent me a demo of one of their songs called Pool Party. This has been recorded but not released yet. So I want to play that for you guys, but do you all here want to say anything about it first?
Not really. We're excited for you guys to hear it.
This one's our slower one off of the new... Oh, am I allowed to say that? Off of the new EP.
It's in the works.
I don't know if we were announcing it yet, but it's coming.
All right, well, that's definitely something to look forward to then. So here I'm going to play this song. This is called Pool Party.
Birthday, we make safe.
So that was Pool Party by Pool Girl. Thank you for sharing this song with us today. Is this something you're playing at your shows right now, or is this brand new?
No, yeah, we've been playing it for a while live, but this is the first time it's been recorded. So, yeah, we're excited to be hopefully sharing it soon.
All right, yeah, that is exciting. And your next show is on May 3rd, right, at La Sartorena?
Yes.
Okay, well, definitely if all you listeners out there are liking this music, you can go to that show and hear some of these songs. So now getting into kind of the last segment of this, I guess first of all, is there anything else you wanted to say about this song or about the other songs we've heard so far?
I'll just say it. Laura's guitar solo gave me chills.
I think, yeah, Pool Party was, I think, one of the songs one of the first songs I wrote with the band, because the band had already written Fetish Wear and Boy Destroyer before I joined, for the most part. And I just really wanted to pair Randy's lyrics with something very almost mournful and empty, but also a bit twisted. And I hope I was successful in that.
So successful.
Oh, yeah.
So
all right. Well, yeah, that's really great. And I mean, I love this song. I mean, obviously I haven't heard this before, but that's definitely a really good vibe. I would be very excited to see that live and to get, you know, a complete recording. So the last major thing I had wanted to talk to you about was more so about, like, your individual experiences. I'm curious if, I mean, I do know, I will say, I know the answer to some of this, but I'm just going to ask it anyway. I'm curious if any of you play other instruments or have any other music projects, and kind of just in general how each of you, like, got into music and, you know, got on this path that led you to this band.
Question, who wants to Okay, I can go, because when you like started asking that, I was like, oh, I love talking about how I got into music, because it's just been like, I never got into it, I was just in it low-key, I like since I was little. So there's that, but I do not as much anymore. I've kind of come to my end with that, but I did study voice professionally at Schulich. I was a singer. Well, I'm still a singer, but that was like my main thing. In high school, I was in a few loose bands. I was in one with my best friend. I don't even know how much of a band you could call it. We were in like my friend's basement. It was called Black Hole Art Display. Yeah, I found some voice memos of our recordings the other day. And I sang and I played bass in that band. But yeah, Milford, I'm from Milford, New Hampshire, which nobody probably knows what that is, but that is a very small, very like blue collar town. So I would say like being in Montreal was like step one for the path of being here. Going to Schulich, step two, because how would I have possibly met Gwenna? And so yeah, that's like kind of a cheesy story, but that is my story, I guess.
For me, I went to, like, I'm from Toronto, I went to rock camp there, which was awesome and epic, and, that, like, camp and my counselors there, like, did introduce me to, like, a lot of riot girl music, and we had zine-making workshops, but yeah, like, on the side, I write some, like, more singer-songwriter stuff. But like Pool Girl is definitely like the main thing. Yeah.
I guess for me, I was also like Manya, my family just surrounded me with music since I was probably born. And I was just obsessed with music class. And then that turned into being obsessed with band when I was in middle school and high school. And probably around grade 6 or 7, I just kind of had an epiphany that I wanted to be a music teacher. And I was accepted into McGill's Concurrent Music Ed program in 2019. I'm still finishing my degree. But I just can't wait to educate future youth musically.
I mean, same with everyone. Music has, you know, always been a part of my life. My mom played piano and bass when she was younger. which really inspired me to play bass. And my dad plays guitar. But I actually play the flute. I love that I get to talk about this. I started playing the flute 13 or 14 years ago at the McGill Conservatory, like back when before it got shut down recently. So yes, really sad that it got shut down. But I started playing the flute then, and then I picked up the bass when I went to also a rock camp in Santa Barbara called Girls Rock. They've since changed their name. And that's when I started, that's the first time I dyed my hair red. I dyed my hair red for rock camp. I felt so cool. I have pink hair now, since you can't see me. And that's when I first started, like, really playing the bass. I had a little band called La Cafeteria, and I still have their shirt, and I wear it sometimes.
Wait, that's so hard.
Thank you. Did my first screen printing there.
Hell yeah.
I'm a flute major now. I've got my, final recital this Saturday.
Oh, yeah. We're trying to feature Gwenna's flute as well.
Yes.
Cool girl.
Oh, it's going to happen.
There's going to be some flute.
Watch out.
That's awesome. As a fellow flute lover, I love to hear this. I think we need to call attention to the shirt you're wearing right now. I know
that's
we can't
true.
All see it.
Yeah,
but...
flute bitch. Resident flute bitch.
That's true. Rhinestones.
In rhinestones. Got it from Flutatious, my favorite flute shop. repping Powell flutes, so...
All right, well, thank you all for sharing that. I love hearing, like, all of your individual stories. And it's so cool how you all came from, like, such different places, but came together here. Maybe it is, I think, as you'd said, a little bit cheesy, but I think that's always nice to hear. You know, especially, like, when we're talking, like, queer groups and underrepresented people in music. It's always nice to hear, like, a good, happy story. And, I'm sure many of our listeners will agree. It's very heartwarming. And I'm really happy to hear this, from you guys that, you've all, like, found your way and are doing something that really seems to bring a lot of positivity into your lives, but also into the world. Kind of the last thing I wanted to ask you before I'll just, like, open it up to anything else you want to say is you had talked about, like, some of these rock camps you were doing. I know you had mentioned, like, DIY music. I was wondering if any of you guys are, like, involved in kind of other DIY or punk scenes here in Montreal, or, like, if there's other artists you collaborate or, like, places you go to, kind of any other sort of things like that that you want to talk about.
I definitely go to, like, I try to go to a lot of shows. I think so do all of us. I definitely see Manya. Like, Manya and I are always just running into each other's shows. And, like, that's just always the best when it's at a DIY venue. But I feel like there's definitely less of them now, at least here in Montreal. Like, mm-hmm. It's just really hard to keep places like that open. Mm-hmm. So, like, obviously house shows are always fun. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Rock Camp is such a great organization. But I don't know if you guys have anything, like...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, just kind of on the same strain of view. It's, like, I don't know if we've really, like, gotten, like, to do some of, like, what is in the depth of that question. But, like, mm-hmm. we do go to a lot of shows and, like...
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, that's, I was just wondering, just seeing, I mean, like, obviously going to shows is, like, awesome. I mean, I also go to a lot of shows. Do you guys have any other, like, bands you, like, that are, like, also Montreal groups? Anyone you want to, like, shout out or people you've, like, either, like, really liked seeing or, like, that you've played with?
Dogfight was a pretty sick show. That was the show. The house show.
Yeah. I just played flute on an album with the You and Me's, and they have a show with Druidess, and I don't remember who else, this Saturday, Evergreen, I believe, this Saturday at Trackside. So I think that was a really cool experience. Punk flute is not...
Oh, did you play at Trackside?
They have asked me, but I do have my final recital that day, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to do both, but in a perfect world, I would.
I would love to see flute at Trackside.
We played, like, Dogfight was definitely, like, that show was so great, and we loved playing with them. We loved their... we also loved, like, our first show was with Lucy's Delirium, and we absolutely love that band. They're so awesome. Mm-hmm. We're playing with Debbie Christ as well on May 9th, which is going to be super sick. But yeah, there's just so many great acts in Montreal.
Actually, I'm going to get a little bit personal with this, because I realized I didn't even get the chance to say it. Well, I mean, I kind of alluded to it. Guitar is, like, the last instrument I've ever picked up in my life. I have not been playing it for very long. Like I may have mentioned, Gwenna put me in the group chat, and I was like, time to pick up my guitar. But you know who was... totally, like, so supportive, even when I was freaking out, maybe a little drunk in the Champs bar, being like, OMG, this is happening. I'm playing guitar in a band. Talia from Postmistress, she was always just like, because, like, that's Postmistress, first of all. Love you guys.
Also one of our first shows.
Yes.
Like, second show, I think?
Actually, our second show. Our 2 days after our first show, January 26th at Gertz with Postmistress and Blood Farts. But, yeah, they rock. They have a show on... Postmistress has a show on the 30th, a benefit show for Palestine at Lesco Griff with the Soreheads, I think, if anyone wants to tap into that. I'll be there, so...
Yeah.
Also, knitting has helped us out a lot. People in knitting have helped us record our first couple of tracks, so they've been great. We've been friends with them. We're going to play a show with them eventually.
Yeah, May 3rd.
May 3rd.
May 3rd.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, they've been really great.
All right. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of shows coming up. I know you have your one on May 3rd, but it sounds like there's more. That's great. Definitely a lot of things to see. I've been hearing about Dogfight too. I'm thinking of bringing them in on here as well. I will also say I may happen to know some of the people in that band as well, but which may or may not influence how much I've been hearing about it. But definitely, like, it's good for me to have in mind too, as I'm bringing more people in here. Okay. Is there anything else you guys want to say before we close it out?
I think thank you so much for having us, basically.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited to listen to more episodes.
I'm happy this was revived. You said it hadn't been going since, what, the 90s?
Oh, my God.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, this show, this has been, like, going on continuously. We'd had a previous host, like, recently, who unfortunately, like, wasn't able to keep doing it. So I've just taken over, like, this is only my second time on this show.
What's our first time?
Yeah, this is actually my first interview.
You are our first interview.
I just need to. Yeah, so if we want to get into kind of like closing remarks now, if you guys don't have anything else to say.
I've been asked to say to shout out my neighbor's cat, Smarmy. So, hey, Smarmy.
All right, hi, Smarmy. Smarmy the cat.
We hope to see you guys, whoever is listening right now or in the future, at our shows. And we hope you like our music that we have coming out soon, hopefully this summer. Love ya.
All right, thank you so much. For all of our listeners, this is CKUT 90.3 FM and CKUT.ca online. My name is Onyx. This is Queer Core, a bi-weekly show all about queer music and artists in Montreal. This is my second time on this show. This is a brand new series, and we just had a lovely interview with Pool Girl, a local up-and-coming band. They've been putting out a lot of music, playing a lot of shows, so absolutely be sure to stay following them, check out their music. Before we end, I'm going to replay some of their songs again as we're closing. Just a reminder, This show will be running again in 2 weeks from today, also 6 to 7 p.m. on Monday. Our next interview is going to be with Clementine Bork of Lazarus, as well as a couple of other projects. She makes noise music of various types. I met her at a show last month. In the following weeks, there will be a lot of other queer artists from Montreal, so stay tuned to listen to everyone, discover new music. If you're listening and you have a band and you would like to be interviewed, you can always contact us on Instagram or by email, and you can check out our page on ckut.ca for more information. Thank you again for listening, and thank you, Pool Girl, for coming in and giving us such a great interview. That's going to be it for today, and as we finish this out, you're going to once again hear their songs Fetishware and Boy Destroyer.
CKUT Special Programming.
We've reached 7 o'clock on this special Earth Day. After the drone of the airplane engine fades away, the American Robin's evening song begins to be heard. You are listening to a special 24-hour Earth Day broadcast of the soundscape from the Texan Marsh in unceded Wissahnik territory on Saturna Island, British Columbia. The sounds you are hearing are synchronized to your local time. For more information, visit wetlandproject.com. We invite you to add your voice to the soundscape during this broadcast by sending a tweet to @wetlandproject.